probably thinking, what's he got here? All this stuff. Children's workers always have lots of material that they take with them. And as we were sharing with someone last week, I think it was, about we were speaking this morning, they said, are you going to have chocolates? We seem to have a reputation of always having to have chocolates. Is that right? Yes. So I had to go out and buy some chocolates. Who likes chocolates?
Yep.
Who likes Mars bars especially? You don't like any?
No.
Okay. All right. Jane talked about five different countries. Can anyone name two of them? Two of them to get a chocolate. Uganda and the Philippines. Well done. That was excellent. Uganda. Another two.
Kenya.
Nah. Right at the back. Yeah, well done. And there's one more. Come, could you come up here? Or could you take it up to her, please? That's a long way to walk up the back. One more country. What was the other country? Cambodia. Mick, you got that right. Well done. Well done. Whoop. Okay. You're probably thinking, what's Fritz doing here, putting these doors up? He wants to be a doorman in the house of the Lord. You know, it really is a privilege to be able to come and share with you this morning. We've been back now for 5 weeks, and as Jane shared, it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. We were gone for nearly 3.5 months, which is the longest we've ever been. This year, we've been away too long. I think it was around about 7 months this year, 7 or 8 months we've been out of the country, which is great, but I'm getting old. older. Jane keeps on saying, you're not getting old, you're just getting maturing a little bit. But you know, God has a plan for us. And when we look at what God has done for this year, it's just amazing, absolutely amazing. And about when we came the first Sunday, I was sitting there and Rochelle had shared with us how David was not going to be here this week, and she asked us to take the meeting. Straight away I thought, Jane can do the message and I'll talk about missions, what we've done, because that's the easy part. And the Lord, while I was sitting there in the service, spoke to me and said, you need to talk this morning about, what is it?
Doors.
Doors. Doors. So I started thinking about it and I thought, no, I'll handball it to Jane. And the Lord really said, no, you need to do this. So over the last 4 weeks, I've been thinking about this message about doors. And I went back and looked in the Bible at all the scriptures about doors, as we should do, to make sure what we're presenting is true. And as I started to look and to study about it, the Lord started to challenge me as well about the doors. And what do those doors represent? You know, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You know, Jesus has an abundant life for each one of us. Is that true?
Yeah.
He's got a wonderful plan for each one of us. And I just love this morning, the Lord just encouraged me this morning as we were worshipping, and especially Michael. Where's Michael? Michael, some of the things that you were saying up here was just a confirmation for me for your message. So the Lord was actually speaking through you. So when God wants to speak through you, and those who prophesied this morning, that was God speaking through you to encourage us. And as I was sitting there, I was just so encouraged, because some of the things you were saying, one person said something about abundance. And God wants to speak to you this morning about an abundant life that he has for each one of us. Amen. I love Mike sharing this morning and how he said, as a young man of 17, he was standing in King's Cross. If you've ever been there to King's Cross, it's not a place to go. I grew up in around that area. I would go there as a young man every Friday night, and it was a bad, bad place. And just like Mike, I was so far away from God. But God had a plan. And God has a plan for each one of us. And he wants to use us, because he wants to use us to shape the world for him. So that life is an abundant life. Overflowing. If you look up that word abundance, it's overflowing. More than enough. more than you could ever, ever want. And we can only get that life through Jesus. For his abundant love, the banner over us is his love. And he has that banner that he wants to put over our lives, and he wants to bless us and bless us and bless us. So we have different doors here. And the doors represents, to me, the decisions that we make in our lives that will affect our future. You know, Jesus wants to bless us, but if we're doing things that are wrong and turning away from him, how can he bless us? He's wanting to. But there's some things in our lives that we know that we should be closing the door to. I know as a young man, when I first got saved, I was 24 years old. I'd been up to all sorts of things before that. But you know, when God touched my life, I knew that if I wanted to follow Jesus, if I wanted that abundance in my life, there had to be changes. There had to be changes. And one of the things I locked straight away, my dad was an alcoholic, by the way, and I was going exactly the same line as my father. I was drinking all the time. You know, when it starts to get, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong to have one or two drinks, but when you get drunk and you can't remember what you're doing and you start to get violent, there's a problem. And if you have a problem with alcohol, you need to close that door. And that's what I did. So I had to decide that I was going to stop drinking. And from that day, 34 years ago, I have not had one more alcoholic drink. And the reason, because I know how that affects me. Now, I'm not saying to all of you, you've got to stop drinking. But I know what that effect was to me. And my family, my dad was an alcoholic, and he just ruined his whole life because of alcohol. He was a good man. But he had this problem. So if you have this problem, we need to close the door to it. And you know, I closed the door to that. And there were some friends that I had to close the door to. You know, friends are really important, aren't they? But some friends want to lead you astray. As a new Christian, I was so wanting to serve God and follow God, but my friends were trying to pull me away. Come to the pub. Come to the club. Come to the nightclubs with me. So I had to make a decision. You know, decisions you make and decisions you make today will affect your future. Decisions you make today will affect your future. So Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. But just like Jesus has a plan, the devil has a plan. And the Bible says a thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, the devil has a plan to destroy your life. And he will look for different ways to try and do that. The devil's pretty smart, you know. He knows our weaknesses. And Jesus knows our weaknesses. But if we follow him and make that decision, he can turn those weaknesses into strengths. And I know some of the weaknesses I had many, many years ago, Jesus now has turned those around, and now I'm strong in that area. I don't take it for granted, by the way. I know it's all about Jesus. But don't be ignorant, because the devil has a plan to wipe you out, to kill, steal and destroy. So we have to be looking at the decisions we make and saying, are these the right decisions for our lives? If we want God's abundant blessing, his love over us, his plan for our lives, we need to be looking at the different doors. So I'm going to be looking at different doors now. One door that we should close is the door of drugs. You know, I'm very concerned about our young people today. You know, when I was growing up, I was starting to get more and more of my friends started getting in drugs, marijuana, and then it started leading. I was with them, and at first I was really strong, and I said, no, I'm not going to go in that area. That's stupid. I don't need this stuff. But as I started hanging around them more and more, I was the odd one out. And when you're the odd one out, you start to feel a little bit awkward, don't you? So I started to follow them. And then one night, I'm sure the Lord allowed this, fear just gripped me. I was driving home, I was stoned, driving my car, and it was like I was in a tunnel. And the tunnel just seemed to go forever and ever and ever. It was about half an hour I was on this road, and it just scared me so much. I thought, that's it, no more. So I stopped taking drugs. I changed my friends around. I wasn't a Christian back in those days. But some doors we need to close. And the doors of drugs, and if you know people who are taking drugs, now I'm not saying don't be friends with them, but be very, very careful. Because if we open these doors up, they can lead us astray and we can get ourselves into big, big trouble. So some doors we need to close and close and close. Now, if you look at these doors up here, there's something unusual about them. Fritz got me those doors, by the way. What's unusual about these doors? No handles. The reason there's no handles, because Fritz didn't bring handles. But the handle is in your hands. See, decisions that you make are your decisions. We can't blame other people for things that happen in our lives when the handle is in our hand. We have to make our decisions. And so there's certain things we need to say, no, I'm going to lock that door. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to follow Jesus. Gambling. How many of you had a bet on the Melbourne Cup last week? Don't put your hand up. Now, you might think, well, having one bet, that doesn't matter. And it doesn't, to a degree. But you know what happens? It can become a compulsion. You know, I had a look. I went online. If you want to find out information, what do? Google it. So I went online and I looked at how do gambling affect your mind? And it was amazing what you can actually read. And in your mind, there's like a little button that says, I'm happy about this. Every time you have alcohol or drugs and it switches over this little switch that says, this is good. So your mind starts to say, yes, I want this. So the next time you do it, what happens is the same thing happens. Oh, that was good. I need to do that again. And you might say, well, no, I don't want to do that. But your mind is starting to be rewired, wanting this little happy button. And what can happen as you start to gamble or take drugs or alcohol, that happy button starts to take control of your mind. And that's when addictions start. And as I started to read about addictions with gambling especially, I know I was a gambler. You know, many times I would gamble my whole wages away. Crazy. And you think, why would you do that? Well, there was something wrong with my mind. That it was not rational. And same with drug addicts, isn't it? The things that they do are not rational. And you think, why would they do that? And it's because their mind has been reprogrammed to the wrong way. And it's not thinking properly. So we need to close these doors. Gambling is a big area in Australia. You know the two biggest problems with gambling, they say? One is the poker machines. If you've ever played a poker machine, you get a real rush, don't you? And you play, and if you win, and you might just win a couple of dollars, but that rush that goes through your brain, you don't know about this, Rochelle, because you probably never played a poker machine. But it goes through, and it's a rush, and it says, oh, I'm happy about this. Happy button. And then if you keep on going, well, you see what happens. People can be down the casino and lose their homes, lose their families, lose everything. We need to close these doors. We need to say, no, that's not for me. So drugs, gambling, pornography. Ooh, we don't like talking about some of these things, but you know, it's so easy to get caught up, isn't it? the day of our internet and our smartphones, it's so easy. I was with a guy one time, and he had to come. He was on our team, and he come up and he said, "Look, I really need to tell you what's happened. I've been looking at the web page, and something came up, and I looked at it." And what he was saying, "I know it's wrong, and I need to confess this. I want to close this door, because the devil wants to use this door to affect me." You know, the devil wants to affect you young people here. And pornography is a big area here in Australia that we need to be closing the doors to. Make decisions. You need to hold that handle. You need to lock these doors. How do we know which doors to open, which ones to close? Because, you know, sometimes these doors can look really good. Is that right? But the Bible says this: "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil." Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Make up your mind. Make a decision today that you want God's love, God's plan for your life, and you're going to say no to these things. And if you're not too sure, if there's a question mark, we need to be looking at that and say, "Jesus, is this what you want me to do? Would you do this, Jesus?" You know, we sit on the planes lots. Sometimes we have cheap flights that don't have the TV and the videos, but sometimes we get a good plane. And I love watching videos, and I love sport. So the first thing I do is I get the book out and find out what movies are on, especially the long flights, and have a look. And, you know, the first thing I look at, before I even look at the title, is a rating. It's a rating. So if you're not sure about something, if there's a question mark, you need to ask yourself, "Jesus, is this what you want me to do? Is this a door that you want me to walk through?" And, you know, Jesus wants to lead you. He never wants to leave you in the dark. He wants to take you by the hand and lead you, because he's got a plan for you. And you might say, "Well, how do I know what plan?" Talk to Jesus. The Bible says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." In all your ways, acknowledge him. Is Jesus real? Is he there? You know, as a new Christian, we get all fired up. I can remember I used to pray for parking spots. How many of you do that? I still do it. And say, "Jesus, I need a parking spot." And, you know, Jesus knows our needs. And all he's wanting us to do is to acknowledge him. And as we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. He will show us the doors to open and close. But there's two simple ways. Number one, which is the right door? The door that Jesus opens will never contradict the Bible. Will never, ever contradict what his word says. Amen? So if you have to compromise, or if you have to lie or twist things around, close that door. I remember years ago, I went to a doctor here. I had a problem with my ear and he wanted to operate. And he was a specialist in the city. And he said, I can operate for you in Rockingham. I said, "Oh, great. When can you do it?" He said, "Oh, probably 3 or 4 weeks." "Great." He said, "But there's a problem." And I said, "What?" He said, "Do you know somebody that lives in Rockingham?" And I said, "No." And I thought, "Oh, my niece lives in Rockingham." He said, "Well, what we've got to do is change your address, because if you're living in that area around the hospital, you'll get in quick. Otherwise, you could have to wait 6 months or 12 months because you live in Kenwick." So I had to make a decision. Will I lie, change my address on this form? Or will I say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you"? You know, we have to make decisions. The lock is in your hand. The decision is in your hand. And I said to this doctor, "No, I can't do that." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "Oh, I'm a Christian." And he looked at me and he started to mock me. "Oh, it's okay. Everybody does it." And you might hear that at work as well. Maybe you're not like the rest of them. Maybe you're not stealing like the rest of them. You know, I used to think, oh, it's a company's things. I can steal that, okay? Doesn't matter taking a pen. Doesn't matter wasting your time at work. But if there's a question mark, if it contradicts the word of God, we need to be going back and saying, Jesus, you need to show me. Number two, when we're not too sure if this is the right door, we need to say, Jesus, give me your peace. Amen. Now, the peace of God can come into your heart as you make decisions, as you acknowledge him, the peace of God can come into your heart. So we need to trust in the Lord and say, Lord, I know you're there. I know that you will lead me. Take control. And if you're not too sure, go to a mature Christian. Better still, get into the Word of God. You know, God's Word is what leads us and what will guide us. So we need to, if there's a question mark, come back to the Word of God. Talk to somebody. If it's a major decision about who you're going to marry or things that's going to happen, talk to a mature Christian if you're not too sure. Then there's the last thing. This is a white door, the good door. Now, Jesus wants to open the door for you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. And he wants to lead you and guide you. And there's doors that are open in your life. Mike talked about today how he went to China. That door now has opened up for him to go to China. But he had to make a decision to walk through it. You know, when Jesus opens up the door to you, you can decide yes or you can decide no. And today we can make a decision. When Jesus opened up the door, I'm going to walk through it. It's really important that we look at this and say, what are we opening and what are we closing in our lives? And, you know, as we look to Jesus, little things can open up. And, you know, a little door can open up to a bigger door, to a bigger door, to another door, to a new area of your life. We've been in Perth now, or I've been in Perth with the ministry 30 years this month. 30 years. I came across from Adelaide because one person rang me up and said, I've heard you're involved with children's ministry. He was a pastor from here. And that opened the door for me to come to Perth 30 years ago. And because I took that one step, God's just opened up more and more and more. And he wants to open up doors for you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. But we need to acknowledge him and look to him. And as we do that, he will open up the door and he will show you, take you by the hand, and he will show you which way to go. Doors. Maybe there's some doors in your life that you need to close. And the Lord's been speaking to you. You can make a decision today. The handle is in your hand. You can say, that's it, no more of that. Now, I don't know what it is, but God knows. And you can lock that door. Or maybe there's decisions you're making that you're not too sure. Pray about it. Don't rush. Look for his guidance. Look for his peace. Talk to somebody else. But when Jesus opens a door, go through it. Many people stay back for fear. They're not too sure what's on the other side. And of course, we don't know what's on the other side. But as we take Jesus by the hand, he knows what's on the other side. And as you acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. But there's one door that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he went on to say, I am the door. If any enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. You know, there's a door of salvation, a new life that is open for you today. And maybe you've never received Jesus. You've never gone through that door. That door is open for you. Jesus wants to change your life. He wants to take you by the hand. And he wants to lead you and guide you. And there might be people here today who say, I know what you're saying, I want this life, but you can only find it in Jesus. Let's just pray now. Let me ask you a question. Have you gone through the door of salvation? Have you received Jesus into your life? Jesus loves you so much. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. He wants to take you by the hand. And that door is open for you. But you need to acknowledge him. You need to say, Jesus, I'm opening up the door to my heart. Come in. Take control of my life. I know there's things I've been doing are wrong and I want to close those doors, but Jesus, I need you. Is Jesus speaking to you today? Maybe you've never received him into your life. You've never gone through that door of salvation, but today you can. And if he's speaking to you, you could just put your hand up now and I'll pray with you. So is there anyone here who's saying, yes, Jesus, I want to go through that door of salvation. I want to take you by the hand. I want you to take control of my life. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray this prayer together. And it's a simple prayer. And for those two who put their hands up, this is for you. Opening up your heart and saying, Jesus, take control. I want your abundant life. I want you to control my life. So let's just pray this together. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to take control of my life. I know I've messed things up, but I'm sorry. I believe that you died on the cross to take the punishment for my sin. I acknowledge you today. I believe that you're alive. So right now I ask you to come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin and make me a new person. Jesus, I want to follow you. Take control of my life. Show me the things that you want me to close, the doors you want me to close. And open up your abundant life to me. So, Father, I thank you for these two who put their hands up today. Lord, I just ask that you will bless them and bless them and bless them. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us will acknowledge you every day. Lord, that you will take control of our lives, that you will show us the doors that you want us to lock. Lord, it's so easy not to know and it's so easy to fall for the traps of the evil one. But Lord, I just thank you that you are there to help us. So take us by the hand, Lord. Show us. In Jesus' name, amen.